We have had the incredible and unique privilege over the last few weeks to sit and listen in to the ramblings and wisdom of an old man that has lived life to the full in every category. And, as I spent some time in Ecclesiastes this week, looking into what it is that Solomon is laying out for us, looking back on life, and thinking to myself what it is he is trying to get through to us, it dawned on me that in many ways, what he's unpacking for us in the early part of Ecclesiastes is really the answer to probably the single largest question I would have if I sat with somebody that was far along in the years and was at this point looking back on life. Because I've thought about that quite a bit. You know, questions are a huge thing, are they not? And if you could ask the single one right question for somebody to answer to you, it would just set in motion so many things. And I've wondered about that for years. What would I ask if I had one question to ask somebody of incredible wisdom who's lived their life through the years and is looking back? What would I ask? And I think my question would fall somewhere along the lines of, if you could have a do-over, if you could do something over again, if you could look back on life and say, I would change this, what would that do-over be? Because so many times, with me in my mid-30s now, I wish somebody who was in their mid-70s could tell me, if you could step back in time and become a mid-30s guy again, what would you do differently from mid-30s to mid-70s that you didn't do on the last run? If you get to that stage in life where you're sort of on the further end of wisdom and you look back, I think all of us look back and say to ourselves, man, if only I could go back, this would be different. And I think if I was sitting with Solomon, I would say to Solomon, man, if you could be mid-30s again, take yourself back there, what would you do differently on the second round? And I think that's exactly what Solomon is trying to unpack for us in Ecclesiastes. He's giving us a huge heads up. That's what he's doing. I mean, what's the biggest heads up you've ever gotten? Can you think of it for a second? Biggest warning you've ever had from someone that when you look back, you're like, oh my goodness, if that person hadn't told me that, do you have any idea what would have happened? Can you guys think about that for a second? I was trying to think about it myself today, and I was like, what is the biggest, like that moment where I'm like, I get on my knees and I thank God that some person told me what they told me. You know, you have you ever been on those roads in the northern part of our country where it gets icy and there's that white stuff that comes down? What do they call that again? Oh, snow, that's right. And you get those bridges and they have the big signs like, bridges ice faster than everything else. You know, those kinds of things where you're driving and you're so grateful as you hit the bridge and you feel the slide that you slowed down just a little bit because some sign told you, just so you know, it gets really bad. In life, there's that decision you would have made. There's that thing you would have invested in or that business you would have started and somebody sat down with you and said, just a heads up, just so you know. And afterwards you're like, oh, whew. That would have cost me everything, but that person rescued me. Solomon sits down in his later part of life, and he writes this incredible poetic piece of literature. And he says to us, just a heads up, I have pursued things to their end because I had the time, the resources, and frankly, the stage of peace on the planet to be able to pursue these things. My father ahead of me, he was in war all the time, fighting a bunch of people. So he didn't have time on his hands to get around and sit around and be silly about things like pleasure and wisdom. He had work to do. But me, Solomon, I got time. I'm in a time of peace. I've got trillions of dollars. I've got a country that loves me. I can pursue things. And so he did. And he's writing to us and he's saying, heads up, folks. Heads up. You want to pursue life? Let me give you a couple of heads up. So you guys remember, right? He starts out first, right out of the blocks, and he goes, just so you know, everything is a chasing after the wind. Just to start. Heads up. Just so we can be clear, everything you do on this planet chasing after the wind. So that's relatively deflating because we all pursue lots of things and we all find satisfaction in many things. And then he sort of goes further and he says, I just want to make this abundantly clear to you in case you think I'm just talking about the bad stuff. And he says to us, you want to pursue wisdom? Been there, done that, right? He goes, I mean, I pursued wisdom to the end. Have you ever met somebody in their later years in life and they're just collecting wisdom and you just go, wow, I mean, they're obsessed with knowledge. And he goes, are you one of those people? Well, good luck on that. And he tells us, the pursuit of wisdom, when you circle around, leads you to recognize something. It's exhausting. That's what he tells us. It's exhausting. You get all this wisdom that you've collected. You read all the books your life gives you time to read, and you realize you haven't read half the books on the planet. And if you read them all, you still know nothing. That's what he basically said. So yeah, go ahead. Pursue that. Find yourself in wisdom, and you will find yourself chasing after the wind. And then he says, you know, on the planet we live in, everyone wants happiness, don't you? I mean, let's just be honest, right? It's the pursuit of the American dream, is it not? That we all deserve to be happy. That's right. And happy, by definition, is the result of experiencing pleasure. So, if you get a bunch of pleasure, then you'll be happy. That's exactly right. So he says, go for it. Find yourself in pleasure. Find your happiness there. Run. Run hard. Let me tell you something about pleasure. It's exhausting. That's what he says. It's exhausting. I had 700 wives. It's exhausting. Calculate it out in your head. It's exhausting. I had so much money. I bought servants for my servants. It's exhausting. In fact, when I sat around and had servants meet every need I had, it was exhausting, actually. So find yourself in pleasure. Go for it. For a time, it'll give you the warm fuzzies, and then it'll just become an exhausting exercise. Because, oddly enough, pleasure itself, wisdom itself, if you are pursuing those two things to find yourself, what you find is emptiness, and you are landing right back where you started, and that's what makes it so exhausting. I started here unhappy. I pursued what would bring me happiness, and I ended exhausted and unhappy. At least here you weren't exhausted. Wow. And so he takes the final step. It's like nailing the nail into the coffin here. And he goes, before we move on to the end of all of this, that is going to be pretty exciting, let me just tell you one last thing. And that's what we're going to open to today. So grab your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. The ramblings of an old man that happens to be incredibly wise and happens to know what he's talking about. So Ecclesiastes chapter 2, page 465 of our Bibles. Okay, so Solomon has just talked about wisdom and its exhausting nature, pleasures and its exhausting nature, significance through building and its exhausting nature. He talks about wisdom and folly both being meaningless and exhausting. So exhausted by all of this, he just doesn't even know what to do with himself. And so verse 17, he writes these words, so I hated life. Okay, let me just stop there. I don't even want to go on. Let me just stop there for a second. These words, I hope they ring in your mind for the weeks to come. So I hated life. Okay? What Solomon is giving us a heads up on is this. That when you try to find yourself in the pursuit of anything on this planet, this is where you will end, guaranteed. So I hated life. Just a heads up, okay? So if you sit here and you go, no, I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. Solomon is giving us our heads up right now. Pursuit of anything to find yourself on this planet will end here. So I hated life. because you will be exhausted. And this is what he says. So I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I love that statement. You know, every time I hear that statement, it gives you such a word picture, doesn't it? Such beautiful poetry. Have you ever tried to chase the wind? If you never have, do yourself a favor this week. I mean this sincerely. I mean this with all my heart, okay? Someday this week, tomorrow it's supposed to rain. I'm sure there'll be some wind, okay? I want you to go outside. Listen to me now. I know you're going, no, please don't say it. I'm going to say it, okay? I want you to go outside, and I want you to chase the wind. I do. I'm asking you to do that this week, just for fun. Take your kids with you. They'll love it, because it's a very childish thing to do, all right? Chase after the wind. Look at your children and say, I want you to catch the wind. Run, but run fast, because the wind goes quickly. Okay? And as you chase it, I want you to grab it. And when you catch it, you come tell me. And then you run with your children and you chase the wind. Do it. And when you're exhausted and you're breathing hard and your hands are as empty as they were when you started, you let the words of Solomon ring in your head. The pursuit of anything on this planet to find yourself is like the chasing of wind. It exhausts you. And you end up with nothing. So now he's going to tell you why. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. I love that. And this is the best line. And who knows whether he will be wise, a wise man or a fool. So here's what Solomon says. If you're looking for something that is going to fulfill you, that is going to make you happy, that is going to bring you joy, that is going to make you complete, I mean, you guys know, right? That's what we're all looking for. You complete me. It's beautiful. We look for it in a wife or a husband. We look for it in children. We look for it in wisdom. We look for it in work. We look for it somewhere. He says, just so you know, if you work at everything on this planet and you create an empire, don't worry about it. It's all good. Because you will leave it to the next generation, and within two generations, your empire will be dead. It will be rubble. I thought about that. Have you ever done a check in history on businesses? How long businesses last? It's really kind of cool to do it. You should go and Google this and just kind of do research on how many businesses, like big ones, I'm talking about the Disneys, the Walmarts, the Targets, you know, the world giants, the Starbuckses, those, right? How many of those businesses that were around in the 1700s are still giants in the world today? It's an amazing thing. You got about a 150-year run. And that's if you're big, if you're a giant. I mean, if you're a giant. So here's the deal. Are you ready for this? I hope you're hearing me, okay? Disney and Starbucks and Walmart, when your great-grandchildren are around, they're going to go, Starbucks what? They're not going to remember. They're not. Because if history is going to repeat itself like it has for the last 2,000 years, it's not going to last long. Within two generations, they are going to kill those things. So the guys working to build those empires, their best bet is that 200 years from now, someone will still read about them in a book. That's their best shot. So Solomon says, I want you to hear me now. You are going to spend yourself for some project on this planet, for some work. You are going to give yourself to some company. You are going to work for some person. Maybe that's even yourself. You are going to build something. And if you are in the 0.001% of the planet, yours might last one generation. But for most of you, whatever you've built, it won't even last past the first people you hand it off to. So everything you've done, everything you've poured into, will end like the wind. That's what Solomon's giving us a heads up about. Have you found significance in productivity? Just ask yourself that question for a second. Because if you say no, you're lying. I'm just telling you that right now. Because you live in a culture that tells you and tells me you are only as valuable as you are productive. That's it. Welcome to America, folks. Welcome to the Western world. Your value is only in what you produce. So for us men, that's a tough one, because we are not valuable if we are not working. That's it. You are insignificant if you are not creating something valuable. That's what our culture tells us. And woman, you guys have it bad, man. Because you're only significant if you actually work, but you are raising kids and trying to do that well, but we don't want you to stay home and just do that, because then you're just an unproductive version of society. And yes, we kind of give you that little heads up, like, well, you know, staying home and being a housewife, I guess that's pretty cool. But deep down, you feel it, don't you? I got to do something with my life. I have dreams. I've got to make something. I talk to so many moms who have kids that are coming into their teens, and they're like, I've lost myself because I've just been raising kids. I want to find myself again, my dreams again. I want to live again. That's what this society has birthed in us. That section of where you're unproductive raising your children, you kind of lose your dreams, and then you got to find them again and become a productive citizen. So Solomon says to us, I want you to hear carefully. I want to give you a heads up. Whatever you work at, if you are working at it because you think it will in some way fulfill you, 100 years from now, everything you've worked for will still be the wind. Wow. Can you believe that? You know what that should do to you and I? It should shake us to our core. It should. It should cause us to sit down on the couch horrified and going, have I sold my soul to some work on this planet to find my significance in that is going to lead to nothing but empty rubble? Have you? And this is an area I'm very passionate about, I got to tell you, because I get to sit in the marriages and the families and the lives that are crashing and burning because some man or some woman has found themselves selling their soul to a company so they can make something of their lives. And all they're making of their lives is a mess. Every one of us in this room, especially you young guys out there that are, and you young ladies that are in your 20s right now, you're looking ahead and you've got success on the brain. You do. Good for you. Dreams are good. Love that. And you want to go out there and conquer the world. Awesome. Fantastic. And you look ahead and you think to yourself, someday, what would it be like to be a CEO? Or to be an owner? An owner. That's a great word, isn't it? I own it. Or what would it be like to have something of your own that you've built? That's awesome. Let me give you a heads up from Solomon. Middle management is your greatest gift. They expect about 50 hours out of you. Then they want you to go home. And you basically just kind of get it done. You get a good paycheck. You provide for your family. Middle management. It's an awesome thing. Our society thinks middle management is the death zone. Let me give you a little secret. It's the zone where life actually emerges. Because as soon as you pass middle management, the expectations shoot to 80 hours a week, sometimes 100. And no matter how dedicated you are to being a man for your children and a man for your wife and a man for your family or a mother to your children or a wife to your husband, you pass middle management. And there's a very small percentage of people I know that can manage that world. Very small. It takes massive boundaries. And all of that occurs only when all of your significance is not found in being more than middle management. That's why I recommend middle management to most folks. It forces you to constantly ask yourself, does this matter? And I hope that Solomon keeps ringing back at you, no! Doesn't matter. doesn't matter. The only reason work matters, the only reason it matters, is because it is an opportunity to honor Christ by providing for your family and by having a platform in which you can share the gospel. No. Yeah, that's it. That's why it matters. You're not really building anything, even if you're part of the big boys. You're not. You're just providing like a good person will for their family, enough for them to eat and have a house to put over their heads and maybe a car to drive. In our culture, it's fairly necessary because you can't get from point A to point B without one of those. Outside of that, Solomon says, heads up! When you're done with it and you're 75, you're going to hate the next generation because they're taking it from you. And they're unwise, foolish people because they didn't work for it. Have you ever heard that one before? They didn't work for any of this. They're going to squander it. Of course they are. Welcome to the regular standard pattern of the planet. You work to give your children everything and they work to take it all away. Then their children have nothing. So they work to get everything so their children can have something better than they did, and their children squander it so that their next children have nothing, and welcome to the cycle. You go, no, Renaud, it doesn't work that way. You want to bet? You want to bet? Go read the history books. You can see it in society. It's just generational. You know, we go 50s to 60s to 60s to 70s to 70s to 80s to 80s to 90s to 2000 to whoo. And we're all panicking now, but don't worry, we're just the generation that's reaping the reward of all of the incredible prosperity the last generation gave us. We'll squander it, it's all good, and then our children will have nothing. And you know what? They'll be better off than we were. Do you hear me? Do you hear how crazy this is? This is like crazy talk, isn't it? It's right here. This is what Solomon's saying. Guys, get used to the cycle. If you're in the cycle, if that's what's giving you meaning, it's a chasing after the wind. Now listen to what he says. He's going to give us a little bit of hope here. You ready? If you're in the cycle, if you are trying to find yourself in productivity, in working at something, in becoming something, in climbing the corporate ladder, in reaching for your dreams, if that's where you are trying to find yourself, he says this, verse 24. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. Okay? So here's what he's saying. If you are somebody that is pursuing life through productivity and work, this is the best you've got. You ready for this? Eat, drink, and find some satisfaction in what you do for now. That's it. Woo! At least there's something, right? And then he adds this to it. I love it. He says, just so you know, while you're eating, drinking, and finding some satisfaction, this too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who could eat or find enjoyment? So here's what he says to you. He says to me, if you're trying to find yourself in productivity and find yourself in success and find yourself in moving up the ladder and find yourself in seeing your dreams come true, that's my downfall, right? Renaud's a dream come true person. I have dreams and I'm going to fight for them. If you're going to find yourself in that, here's the deal. All you've got is to enjoy the eating, the drinking, and the enjoyment that comes with the daily grind, that at least you feel like you're moving forward. That's good, right? But just so you know, even that's a gift from God, because you couldn't even eat if he didn't let you. I love that. You couldn't even chew your food if it wasn't for God. See what Solomon's doing? If you are to find any meaning in the remedial stuff that we human beings call work, it will be that you can chew some food and drink some stuff. In other words, for us in our society, it means you can have the boat, right? You can buy the boat, and you can buy the bigger house, and you can have the white picket fence, and if you're really lucky, you could get the BMW. It's awesome. And when you have all of that, just know this, you couldn't drive the stupid thing unless God gave you arms. So really, it's a gift from God that you can even drive the BMW you own. See, not once has Solomon told us, not once, that pleasure in of itself is evil or bad or meaningless. Not once has he told us that wisdom is stupid and you shouldn't have it. Not once has he told us that working is a bad thing. He's told us that if you are trying to find yourself in the pursuit of wisdom or in the pursuit of pleasure or in the pursuit of productivity, you will find yourself hating life because you will be exhausted at the end. And may I make this personal for a second? I am in my mid-30s, so I can't tell you what it looks like from the mid-70s. But I can tell you this. I've had the privilege as a pastor to sit with many who are in their 60s and 70s. And every time I sit with them, every time I talk with them, they tell me the same thing. I have killed what matters most for what matters least. I've worked. And in doing that, I don't even know that my family knows me. I'm telling you, I've heard that so many times, it kills me. And I want to look at them and go, could you tell the 20-year-olds this? Because they're all about to run the next 40 years producing a whole bunch of stuff that's going to lead to nothing. And they will leave what matters most behind. The thing God called us to. And just so you know, Solomon didn't put it in here, but if we could sit down with him and we could say, so is it family? Is that it? Is that what it all comes back down to? He would say, psh, are you kidding me? Your children will try to kill you when you get older. Your wife will try to leave you, and family means nothing. Now, he would say, family is very important, but if you try to find yourself in family, if that's your pursuit, you know how many wives I've sat with or husbands I've sat with in their 50s and 60s trying to get a divorce? I'm telling you, this is crazy. I'm thinking about the people I know, and I'm like, are you kidding me? We should learn from this. And here's what I hear all the time. For the last 20 years, my husband has worked and I've poured myself into the children. So now all I know are the kids, they're grown up, I have nothing. All he knows is work and he's working and I just want out, I want to find myself again. And I go, that's it, right? You've poured yourself into the children because you found your significance there, while your husband poured himself into work because he found his significance there, and you have no marriage left. And if you poured yourself into each other, then you'd find that to be as fleeting as the wind too. So Solomon is being very clear with us. Folks, heads up. The pursuit of anything on this planet in order to find yourself will lead to an exhausted life with empty hands. You and I should sit down on our chair and thank God for this heads up. Because you don't have to sit at a funeral someday in your mid to late 70s with your head low, regretting your life because you have pursued meaningless things to try to find yourself. You don't have to do that. Do you know why? Because he did it for us. And he had enough life in him to do it all and tell us it was all ridiculous. But in that, he did find one thing. He did find one thing. That there is a pursuit on this planet that is outside of this world, that when you pursue that to find yourself, everything else on this planet that's worth enjoying becomes colorful and full of life. The work you're working at that will be rubble 200 years from now, it can have tremendous meaning every day if you are going to that place with the right pursuit in mind and you are not finding yourself in that place. Wisdom is a gift if you don't try to find yourself in it. Pleasures, folks, just look at your body. You were designed to experience pleasure. God gave us 5 incredible senses and then a few extra ones you don't know about that just kind of come and go once in a while and you're like, whoa, that was cool. He gave us 5. You're going to be like, what are those? It's for the married people in the room. So here's the deal, okay? Here's the deal. God designed you to experience pleasure. He did. He designed you to breathe deeply, to taste food, to enjoy touch, to experience sight, to feel and to smell and to see and to taste. All these things he designed us for. But if you try to find yourself in those things, it will be the chasing after the wind. So I end with this. It's really quite simple tonight. Please, please, please do not find yourself in a career. Please don't do that. I beg of you. Whatever you do, remind yourself daily as you head off to become the next CEO that whatever it is you produce will be gone 200 years from now. If you are one of the giants, and if you're not a giant, it won't last one generation. Please remind yourself of that every day. And then ask yourself this: why am I going to work? And answer that question, because it is an important pursuit. In the Garden of Eden, before the fall of man, do you know what God told us to do? Be fruitful, multiply, and work. Work was a gift given to us before sin perverted it. It's still a gift, but you've got to know why you're going, and you've got to know why you're there. And it is not for the productivity of the work itself, just so you know. That's the heads up. Whatever you're building, its end has nothing to do with the thing you're building. Its end is in what you're able to do to glorify God while in the midst of doing what you do. And that should set you free to say, I don't need to be the next fill in the blank. That should set you free to say, my purpose in work is to glorify Christ and to serve those whom he has called me to serve. If you are a CEO with that mindset, you'll be a fantastic CEO. Chances you'll ever be one? Slim to none, because you will not be willing to spend yourself and pay the price that they ask of you. A few of you will have the unique calling from God to start a business that is your own, that you build, and you set the right boundaries, and God uses that. But I caution you, if you're one of those guys in the room, I caution you as I am cautioned. Keep your head on straight. Do not find yourself in that. It is not your significance. I'm now getting repetitive because I'm really passionate about this. Please don't pursue the stupid things and leave behind the thing that matters most. Please. Should I pray now? You guys are all like, I don't know, is there more? There is, but that's for next week. Let's pray. God, I don't know how better to say it. I mean, you said it so beautifully through Solomon. You're saying it again today. God, remind us, please, I beg of you, Spirit of God, remind us every day that whatever we pursue in order to find ourselves will be a chasing after the wind that will exhaust us if we are unwilling to let go and to pursue and to find ourselves only in you. God, I thank you so much for the heads up that Solomon is giving us. I can hear him saying to me, Renaud, listen to me, please. This planet has a million distractions. There are a million functional false idols that will tell you, come to me and I will give you life. Pursue every one of them and you will be exhausted and you will find emptiness. And just like you said, God, when we find all that we are in you and we live to honor your name alone, then we can love unconditionally. Then we can work freely. Then we can enjoy pleasures without them consuming our souls. Then we can pursue the bit of wisdom that you lay before us. And we can do it in freedom. Set us free from the bondage of the pursuits of this world. And call us deeply into a pursuit of you so that we can enjoy the beauty of the gifts you, God, give us. Orient our eyes and our lives to you, our Creator, and pull our orientation away from our creation. May we never find ourselves fulfilled by the creation, but always by you, Creator. God, I pray for the men and women in this room that sit here today, for those in this room that are young, that are preparing to pursue a life of productivity and become the next great something, whisper to them, shout to them, and tell them, I don't care what the society tells you. Your success is not measured by your productivity. I will make you special if you follow after me. And then, God, may you give them incredible productivity so that they will use it for your kingdom. And for those women sitting in this room now that have spent themselves for their children, God, forgive us for making them feel any less than they are. They are living the dream, God. Forgive our culture for telling them that their dreams are other than that. Bend our hearts toward what matters to you and allow us to glorify you in all that we do. I thank you again, Father, for the wisdom of your servant Solomon, reminding us that the chasing after wind is exhausting, that we should chase after you. We love you, Jesus.